we go. As many preachers say, I'll say, I won't be here before you long. Let me see, this is a little loud, I think. Yeah, okay. Praise God. Have you noticed that people say the craziest things? Has anyone noticed that? People say the craziest things. Our president, for example, said that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton founded ISIS. There are a lot of things that people say that just you have to go, no, that cannot really be true. And you know what? It's a good thing, I believe, that we don't just take everything everyone says for face value. Christians are not immune to saying crazy things. I'm not attacking anyone's motives or anything, but I remember in the 90s, there was a kind of what I call a spiritual fad that everyone was talking about, and some people were really into it. They were sure they had a date, I believe it was in May sometime, in the 90s, when Jesus was going to come back. And people were making plans and everything about it. And nowadays, we have a word for that. It's called fake news. And even that word is being stretched to mean all sorts of things. People say the craziest things. We're going to be looking at one time in the Bible when a person believed people were just saying crazy things. Turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We've just had Easter, which is the anniversary, the celebration, I guess, of Jesus raising from the dead. And there was a period of about 40 days after that when Jesus was here on earth, like he had been before, walking around. This was during that period of time. We're going to be starting at verse 19. This actually happened the very day of Easter. This was the first day of the week when Mary Magdalene had seen Jesus and gone to the disciples and told them about it. This happened later in the evening of that day. In the evening of that first day of the week, verse 19, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, which is a kind of a slang name for twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." People people say the craziest things. And he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into his side, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Truth. What is true? People say the craziest things. How do we know what is true? You know, I think I get the impression, anyway, that we paint Thomas in a sort of a negative light. That he was somehow spiritually inferior or spiritually weak because he said, no, until I see with my own eyes, until I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. We see that as a sign of spiritual weakness or some sort of fault. But you know, people do say the craziest things. And I believe it's a good thing that we don't just believe everything everyone tells us, even if it's people we know well. You know, there are such a thing as Christian rumors that start to spread. And everyone sort of believes it because somebody they know well told them this. And the rumor just kind of grows. It's a good thing that we say, hey, hold on here. What really happened? Until I see it, until I have some sort of evidence to show this, maybe I'm not going to just believe it. I believe that's a good thing. I believe that's not a sign of spiritual weakness or some sort of moral failing. I don't believe Thomas, this is a sign of moral failing with Thomas. Truth. How do we know what truth is? How do we gain access, gain knowledge of the truth? One method of access to truth is what we now call the scientific method. Scientific method was actually invented by Bible-believing Christians. Sir Isaac Newton, one of the greatest scientific minds, was a Christian, a Bible-believing believer. What is the scientific method? Well, it's based on repeatable experimentation. You don't just say things fall just because. Or how do I know it's not going to... How do I know an anvil dropped from that balcony is not going to fall faster because it's heavier than a tennis ball? How do you know? I mean, it's supposed to, right? It's heavier. It has more force. It's going to go down fast. Well, do some experimentation. Let's drop both of them and see what happens. And if it happens once, you can say, that was just a fluke. you know, there's something we don't know about. So let's try it again. Make sure that there's no wind, there's no this or that. Try it again. Repeatable experimentation is what's called the scientific method. We believe things when we see it. That is the scientific method. And it is a valid, valid way of finding out what is true. It's not the only way, but it is a valid way of finding out truth. Repeatable experimentation. There was a story back in the 90s also. This one gentleman had declared that he had discovered or found what he called cold fusion. It was supposed to be the answer to all the world's energy problems. You know, the sun is a source of great energy. Lots of light, lots of heat, and it's been going for thousands and thousands and thousands, millions of years. We know for sure, thousands of years. And it's an inexhaustible, apparently, source of energy. Well, you know what the energy is that's happening there is something called fusion, nuclear fusion. Things like atoms, like hydrogen and, not even helium, because that's produced by the sun. They kind of get squished together and they fuse into heavier elements. Like helium. Take two hydrogen atoms, squish them together, make them into one thing, and now you have two protons in there, and that's helium. The gas helium, which the very word means sun. It comes from the sun. So that's what makes the sun go. And so this guy had said, you know, we've been trying for a long time to, how do we do nuclear fusion? That would be an inexhaustible source of energy. If we could do the same thing here that's happening up there in the sun, all of our energy problems would be solved. But the problem is, you have to have such an incredibly high temperature and for it to work, that how do you get things that hot to be able to even do that? Well, this guy said, I figured out a way. That's why he called it cold fusion. Doesn't have to be millions of degrees hot. If you you can do it this way, and you get boundless energy. And they published it, and it got in the news and everything. The problem was, when anyone tried to repeat his experiment, it never worked. Lots of people tried to do what he said worked, and it didn't work. So have you heard of cold fusion recently? It's not there. Because it's not repeatable. Who knows why? But you can't believe everything everyone says. Even in the scientific community. Yet it has to be repeatable. It's a good thing when people say, wait, hold on here. Let me check this out for myself. If you say this method here is a way of getting cold fusion, let me check it out for myself to see if that's really true. And guess what? It isn't. One of the most important things for science to progress with new human knowledge is not only doing the first experiment and making the headlines that you say, whoa, this new thing has happened. See, I did this. This is the, do a research and publish your research. That's great, that makes headlines. But what's more important is, who's gonna try that same thing again, see if it works again? Repeatable. If it's not repeatable, then we got to say, what happened here? But that, the the experiments that repeat somebody else's research don't get as much headlines. You probably don't get as much financial backing to be able to do them. Hey, that's already been done. But it's extremely important. I believe this was Thomas's mindset. You tell me you saw Jesus alive? That just sounds crazy to me. I want to see it for myself. Let me do the repeatable experiment. You said Jesus was here, showed him your hand, his hands, and showed you his side. Let's repeat that. That way I can be sure Jesus actually did raise from the dead. Well, you know, if it was not optimal, if it's not the best thing for Thomas to have said, hey, I'm not going to believe until I see it for myself. If that wasn't what Thomas was supposed to do, what was he supposed to do? What should he have done? Should he have said, oh, wow, that's really something. Because you guys said it, I guess it must be true. He could have done that. He'd have been right. And it's also true somebody could say other crazy things. And he might have said, oh, well, I guess because you said it, it must be true. Yeah, he believed. He could have believed without personal evidence himself, and he would have been right. He would also have been vulnerable to other things that people could have told him. We need people like Thomas. We need people like Thomas who will say, wait, 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 wait. Is this really, really true? How do we know it's true? Let's repeat the experiment to see if this is actually the case. We need people like that. The other side of the coin is, let me talk about science again. What would happen if we believed only the science that we personally did experiments on? If people tell me that the speed of light is, what is it, several thousand miles per second? I can't even remember. But if that's what everyone says, but hey, I'm not going to believe that until I see it. Boy, that's an awfully hard experiment to repeat with my own resources. I couldn't do that. People tell me the earth is round. I've never been around the whole world. I look out. Looks flat to me. I've been up in airplanes and flown to Jamaica, flown to Arizona, flown to California, and I look out on the horizon. Looks flat to me. People tell me the earth is round. How do I know that? Well, there are people who say they have gone up in spaceships and they have circumvented the earth. There are photographs that show the earth as a round thing. Have I done that experiment myself? No. But if the only thing I allowed myself to believe are what I personally have done the experiment on, I'm limiting a whole lot of human knowledge. I'm limiting myself extremely. Thomas's desire to repeat the experiment was not completely inappropriate. But if that's the only thing we allow ourselves to believe is what we personally have experienced, there's a lot that you will never know. There's a lot you will never be able to truly commit to. At some point, we have to choose to accept the report of other people. Otherwise, we're in big trouble. That's the whole purpose of, in science, let me shift gears again. In science, that's the whole purpose of professional journals, scientific journals. Somebody will do an experiment, somebody will do some research, and they'll have everything, all their protocols. This is how we did it. This is how we tried to eliminate all the possible problems with the results. Here's the data that we came up with. This is what it means. And it's been and then it gets reviewed by other scientists who try their best to pick it apart as hard as they can. And if it survives that process, then it gets published in a scientific journal. When it's published, if I read that journal, I'm going to have to accept that report. I don't have to. But if I don't, I'm limiting myself to a whole lot of valuable human knowledge. We choose to believe the research that others have done. We choose to believe that they didn't fake their results. By the way, that's a real thing. Sometimes scientists, just like, I guess, other human beings, like recognition. They like fame. They like to be seen as important in their field, and if they have an idea of some research that should come up with something that would make them famous, and then their data doesn't quite fit what they thought it was going to, that's a hard pill to swallow. I believe there was a professor in Cornell recently, last year or so. They did an investigation on some of his research that was published, and they found there were shortcuts. Data that was in the article, in the journal, in their research, was actually fudged. You know, sometimes it's hard for a grad student to go into a lab and write down the same numbers over and over and over again. It's easier just to say, you know what, I know what that's going to, let me just do that. And fake the data. That actually has been done. I know one gentleman who's a professional scientist. In his field, he's working on one thing that there's somebody else somewhere that did some research that he doesn't think that's real results. Because what he's doing doesn't match what they're doing. He won't say it outright, but he thinks they just faked their results. It can happen even in science. But, so we need people like Thomas to challenge that and say, hey, wait. You know, is that really, really true? And on the other hand, if we don't ever believe what anybody else does for them, you know, unless I do it myself, then that's also a mistake. That leads us to some really pretty crazy places. Without believing, choosing to believe somebody else's report on some level, our knowledge is severely limited. You know, there are people nowadays, this is kind of an old curmudgeonly sermon, I would say. The reason I say that is it just feels to me like nowadays there are a lot of people who say, I believe science. I ask them about their spirituality. They say, well, I believe science. This God stuff, I don't know. That I don't believe as much. As if there's a choice between believing God and believing science. I think a lot of people are very uncomfortable with taking the report of what is stated in the Bible as true, as fact. Why? Because there's some crazy stuff in there. There is crazy stuff in there. And it's easy to say, you know, I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me. Unless I see it for myself, I'm not going to believe that. I think there's some great wisdom in that. But if we never allow ourselves to take the report of people who are in a position to know what actually happened, then we'll never know that Julius Caesar ever lived. We'll never know that George Washington led the Revolutionary Army. I've never seen him. Have you met him? All I have is the reports of somebody else. The people who actually were there, what did they see? What did they experience? And do I want to believe them? Is the question we have. Yes, the Bible says some crazy things. But you know, sometimes crazy things happen. If I will say, you know, I don't know if I believe a God because I've never seen him. God, if you're there, strike a lightning bolt right there, right now. It didn't happen. Hey, so how can I believe a God who doesn't do what I tell him to do when I tell him to? Bible says that some crazy stuff happened. But another thing, this is a curmudgeonly part of me. Science can tell us what usually happens. It's an extremely valuable way of knowing how things usually work. There's scientific laws which describe this is what usually happens, unless there's some kind of force or something that we don't know about. This is what we know happens. We can do experiments over and over and over. What science can't do is report about the past. We can look at the evidence that is with us now, and we say, this is what usually happens now, and then we can work back and say, well, if this has always been what's happened, then this must have happened, and this must have happened, but we're assuming things have always worked this way. How do we know things have always worked this way? Did you see it for yourself? That things always worked this way. No, we weren't there. So the question is, whose report will we choose to believe? If people who were there say they saw Jesus alive after he was killed, that does not usually happen. People who are dead stay dead. But people who are there say this is what happened. It's a very unusual event. Whose report will we choose to believe? I am very grateful for Thomas because he had the same kind of mindset I have. You know, there people say the craziest things, and I don't want to just believe crazy stuff people tell me. I don't want to. But sometimes if I don't, I might lead myself to make some bad mistakes. Thomas was just like that. I'm glad he was there. Because he now knows firsthand that Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. And what he says is the word of God. I am grateful for Thomas because I am so much more comfortable in believing his report. I'm much more comfortable in believing the report of the other apostles who said they saw him as well. I'm glad for Thomas. Jesus ended this thing by saying, "Blessed are those who have not seen. You have seen me and you have believed." That's a good thing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's the situation we're in right now. We have not, well, I don't know. I don't want to speak for everyone. Maybe some of you have seen the risen Lord, Jesus himself. I have not. I have the reports of those who are there who tell me they saw him alive. I can choose to say, people say crazy things. That's just a crazy thing that somebody somewhere said. By the way, those people who said those crazy things, almost every one of them died for their belief. Those people that said crazy things about Jesus raising from the dead, nobody has ever given an alternate theory as to what happened. Where was Jesus' body? Why didn't somebody ever find it? All of his enemies could have easily squish Christianity in the bud by saying, "You guys are crazy. Look, here's his body. He's dead." It would be all over. Why didn't that happen? Maybe you're making up these stories to be famous. I don't think they ended up being very famous in their own lifetime. They are now. Whose report will we believe? Whose report will we believe? Will we believe the report of people who say, "I believe in science only, and I don't believe Jesus rose from the dead because it goes against science"? And if we don't see it happening now, that means it never did happen. Do we want to believe that just because things aren't happening now, that means they never happened? When there are people who said it did happen. Do we want to believe the report of someone who lives now, who never was back there, but somehow they know what happened? And it wasn't what the apostles wrote down. Somehow they know that. We can choose to believe that report, or we can choose to believe the report of the men and women who saw Jesus for themselves. who saw with their eyes, who felt with their hands, who had meals with him, who celebrated with him, who had conversations with him. The men and women who were there and who had Jesus breathe on them and say, receive the Holy Spirit. Do we want to believe those people's reports? Or do we want to believe the report of someone who lives 2,000 years later who says, things don't happen that way. They never have, because I didn't see it. That's a choice we have. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. We have a hope. We have something solid to believe in. You know, this is another curmudgeonly thing of mine. Faith isn't believing something just because it's hard to believe. And so it's a good thing to believe things that are even more and more incredulous. I don't think that's a positive attribute. It is a positive attribute to believe the truth. It is a positive thing to believe what actually is true. We have a choice. I do believe Jesus raised from the dead. I believe because he raised from the dead, he is the Son of God. Why? Because he said that's what his resurrection was going to demonstrate. You don't believe what I'm saying? Kill me and I'm raised from the dead 3 days later. That's exactly what happened. So Jesus and the people who lived with him are passing on to us knowledge of the realm, spiritual realm, of spiritual realities that we have not yet experienced. Because Jesus rose from the dead, I believe when he said, I will go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you will be also. That's what I believe. As the truth. Because it doesn't happen today, I can't kill Sister Camille and expect her to raise in the, let's see if she raises up on the third day later. That's not an experiment I think is a good thing to try to repeat. But that doesn't mean it never happened. Jesus did raise on the third day. That's why I have a hope that God is going to take me to be with him. In spite of who I am, in spite of what I've done, in spite of what I will do, in spite of what I am doing. Jesus died for me anyway. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do thank you, Lord, that you have provided evidence to the skeptical mind, to the people who say, I will not see it, and I will not believe it unless I see it. One of us was there. And you showed him, Lord, who you are and what you actually did do. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you now we can have complete confidence in the rest of the things you have said, in the rest of the things you said you are, who you are and what you are going to do and are doing for us even today, Lord. I thank you for that, because without this, I have no hope. I have nothing that makes sense of my life. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me, given us, a reason to hope, a reason to have trust that no matter what we're going through now, this is not the end of the story. It will eventually, somehow, down the road, we will see how you cause all things to work together for good. Lord, we don't see it now. But I have a hope that that's true because you proved it by raising from the dead. Thank you, Lord. May we pass this hope on to others so that they also can live in confidence that their life is not meaningless, their suffering is not forever, that they have a hope, Lord, that there is a deliverer, there is a savior. There is light at the end of the tunnel if they want it, Lord. May we offer this to them and may we encourage them not to give up hope in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Say to the person next to you, seeing is believing.